Hey, this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 19. So if you want to start turning there, and I'll kind of lead into my message with something that is kind of where God has laid this on my heart. What we're going to talk about today, and if you read in your bulletin, it's being non-committed or not committed to something, and this is what God kind of laid on my heart because all my life I've been a sports fan. And I've been a Cardinals fan because there really wasn't any other, sorry, Ken, but there really wasn't any other team in Missouri. I'm just kidding. But I am a committed Cardinals fan. Good season, bad season, whatever. But there's a reason. My uncle played for the Cardinals back in 55 and 56. So I've always had this connection with the Cardinals through my family. And whether good or bad, it didn't really matter. I was always a Cardinals fan. And then I had a different uncle that lived in Kansas City, and he was a Chiefs fan, and he always had Chiefs memorabilia in his house. So I became a Chiefs fan really young when I would see that it meant so much to my uncle. And so I have a connection with those two teams, not just because I live in Missouri, but because of my family. I had this connection, and so I was always a committed Cardinals fan. It didn't matter if they were coming in last or coming in first. I was a Cardinals fan, and when the Chiefs have had bad years and good years and in-between years, I've always been that Chiefs fan just because I had a connection. And I would have friends of mine, and just like I joke with Ken or I joke with my daughter-in-law that lives in Kansas City about the Royals, that's just part of it. As being a fan, you like to pick on other teams, and that's what we do. Just the same way Ken bleeds blue, I bleed red. And it's one of those things where if I didn't really care about a team, I would probably just pick whoever, you know. Or maybe I kind of like this team because they're doing good, or maybe I like that team because their helmet color. Some people pick that. I'm not going to name names, but there are people that pick their favorite team because of a helmet color or a helmet design. My wife's going to kill me later, but that's how she picks her team. Is she's a Buffalo Bills fan because she loves their helmets. She didn't even know where they were from when she first started following football. But that doesn't matter. The thing is, it just this team, so I don't like that team. And I'm going to pick the team that's going against your team and that type of deal. And me and my sister-in-law kind of have that deal. She likes Dallas, so I don't like Dallas, you know, type of deal. So I pick at her because of Dallas. And so we have different reasons why we're committed to sports teams or anything like that. And it comes down to, do you have a connection with them that causes you to be committed, or do you just choose because of some other reason and next year it'll be somebody else, next year it'll be a different team type of a deal? And so God kind of laid on my heart this week as I was going through my reading and study time, how committed are you to me? I know you're a Cardinals fan even when it's not baseball season. And I know you're a Chiefs fan even when it's not football season. You're committed to those two teams, but Steve, are you committed to me? And I began to pray about that and think about that. And as I got to this passage that we're going to go over this morning, that's really what I got out of this. Because I know it's about being truly committed. And so we're going to read this passage. I'm going to start down in verse 16. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these I have kept. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you now. And Lord, as we open your word before you, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts before your word. Lord, we need you. We need you as individuals. We need you as a church. We need you as the body of Christ to change us from where we're wrong. Lord, I know I'm not where I should be. I know that nobody in this place is where they should be. And we will not be, Lord, unless you intervene. And so we ask you to do that this morning. We ask you to change our hearts, change our minds, and change our lives through your Spirit. Bless your word today and be honored. In your name we pray. Amen. I think every one of us at some point are in this man's shoes when he comes to Jesus, because he comes to him and he says he wants to know what he needs to do to have eternal life. And everybody that has probably entered a church, unless they were having, you know, being drugged as a child or being drugged because it's Easter or Christmas, most people are curious about what it takes to have eternal life. What is the purpose there? What is there that I have to do to have eternal life? I can go to church and I can read my Bible and I can hear from other Christians what I need to do to have eternal life. Well, this man, he comes to Jesus and asks that question. And Jesus tells him what he needs to do. He says, keep the commandments. And he says, well, which ones? And I wonder why he asked that question. I thought about that this week. Why did he ask the question, which ones? Did he have the attitude, well, I already keep them. Which ones are you talking about? I keep most of them. Which ones are you talking about that I have to keep to have eternal life? Or maybe he had the attitude that maybe was a little bit better, that when he asked Jesus and Jesus said, keep the commandments, he said, you tell me which ones. You tell me if it's this one and I'll keep it. You tell me if it's that one and I'll keep it. Which ones do I need to keep? I don't know what his reasoning was for asking which ones. When Jesus says, keep the commandments, that's a blanket thing. And that's what they were supposed to do at this time. But as he comes to that question of which ones, I feel like his problem was more than finding out which commandments he needed to keep. It was more about what Jesus said, selling out and following me. This is what Jesus told him he needed to do. And so many of us are like this man. Because if you stop and you took a picture of this man, a mental picture of this man, he is a good man. He's a good moral man. He keeps most of the commandments according to his testimony. He is a religious person. He knows these commandments. He knew the commandments that Jesus was talking about. And he had a desire to come to know and have eternal life. But he had some problems. And so we're going to look at them as we go. First, it's more than just being a good person. So many people want to compare themselves to somebody else, and I am so much better than I used to be. I wasn't a terrible person growing up, but I am so much closer to God, and I am so much a better person than I used to be. But the Bible tells me my righteousness is filthy rags. I am still, as good as I can get, I will never be good enough. It's more than doing the good deeds. He says, what good deed must I do? How can I be good enough to have eternal life? Jesus told him to keep the commandments and to sell everything and follow him. But he didn't want that. What good deed can I do? What can I do to get eternal life? How can I be good enough to get eternal life? You can't. There are people that are very good people. They help people out. They minister to people. They They do all the right things. They are good people. But that does not mean they have eternal life. Because if you look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 and 45, Jesus tells a story about a man who had cleansed himself, and the evil spirit went, the unclean spirit went out of him, and it went away, and it found seven other demons, and it came back, and that life was clean. That person had cleaned himself up really nice, but Jesus Christ had never entered that person. And so when that unclean spirit came back, he brought seven other evil spirits with him, worse than he was before. Because the person in that story that Jesus told, it's more of he cleaned himself up. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, it tells us that a sow, after she cleans herself up, will return to the wall. But the key to that is she cleaned herself up. She was still a sow. She was still wanting the muck and mire of the wallow, and she had cleaned herself up, but when it come down to it, she was still a pig. And she went right back to it. There are so many people that want to clean themselves up so that they can have eternal life. But if you plan on cleaning yourself up to get eternal life, it's not going to happen. Because you cannot be good enough to have eternal life. And the scary thing is there are so many people across this country, across this world, that think, because I'm good, I'm okay. I'm at least better than Steve, and so I'm okay. Being good will not get you to heaven. Now, I'm going to, each time during this passage, and I don't normally do this when I preach, and I don't know why I'm doing it today other than the fact just came to me. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to tell people that. Because there are people that you work with and you play games with and you live around or live with, and in their mind, they think being good is going to get them to heaven. And it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to tell them that that's not going to work. But too many times we want somebody else to do that. It's your responsibility to tell them, I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much money you donate to great causes. I don't care how many times you help people out. Those are all good things, but good things will not get you to heaven. That's your responsibility to share that. That's not always easy. But it's your responsibility as a Christian. And if you're sitting out there and you're one of those people that you feel like you're good, I'm good enough, I'm here to tell you this morning that that's not the case. This man was not good enough. He knew that Jesus was there. He came looking for the right things. But he went away lost. Because being good wasn't good enough. We go on to the second thing that this young man does. If we look at him, we know that he knew all the commandments that Jesus talked about. Because he said, all these I've kept. He's a pretty religious guy. He has come to the point that not only did he know that the commandments that Jesus mentioned off, that I read off, but he said, all these I have kept. So he was obviously pretty religious. But you know, if we look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, it tells us, Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't care how righteous you are. I don't care how religious you are. Your righteousness, the righteousness that's going to get you into heaven, has to come through Jesus Christ. It has to come by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the bottom line. Keeping all the commandments, being religious, going to church every Sunday, quoting the scriptures, doing the religious things is going to get you religious. But getting you religious doesn't get you past these doors. And it'll never get you through this ceiling. What you need to understand is that religion is not a relationship. And so I go to that same point of stepping out of the message and saying, again, that's your responsibility. First of all, you have to understand that memorizing my scriptures and reading so many verses a week is not going to do it. Coming to church every time the doors open, that's not going to cut it. Being religious, there are people down the street that are religious, and they're headed for hell. I don't know any other better way to say it. Like Kay and I said this morning, Kay and I was talking, if we don't say it, then the rocks are going to cry out. I keep a rock up here on the pulpit, not for that purpose, but it just come to my mind. Because if we don't do our job, then the rocks are going to cry out. And the rocks are going to speak up and praise God because we won't. The stars in space, everything that we talk about that God has created, it speaks for Him. We talked about this on Sunday night, so maybe I'm re-preaching, but maybe that's where it's supposed to be. We have a tendency to see all the beauties in the sunsets and the sunrises and the waves and the mountains, and we understand how beautiful everything is, and it points to God's creation. And Romans chapter 1 tells us that we are without excuse when we see those things, but to know that there's a God. They speak without words, and the one creation He gives that's able to speak with words, we don't say a thing. It's our responsibility to share with our friends, with our family, with our teammates, that religion is not going to get you to heaven. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's understanding who He is. It's understanding what He's done. It's understanding that grace comes through Him. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. He gives that to us by grace. He gives us righteousness. Keeping commandments, being a religious person, is not going to get you to heaven. I can be religious about watching football on Sunday afternoon. I can be religious about so many things. Religion is not going to get you anywhere. Next, let's look at this man, another thing he does. This man, he's wanting eternal life. He knows he needs eternal life. He says, what good deed must I do? And he comes to Jesus. Why did he come to Jesus? Why didn't he just go to somebody else? Why didn't he just go down on the street corner and find somebody and say, what must I do to have eternal life? Because he knew Jesus had the answer. And what better place could you be than to know the guy that has the answer, the guy that is the answer? And he goes to Jesus and he says, what must I do? And Jesus tells him the truth. This is what it is. You've got to do this, you've got to believe this, and you've got to be committed to me. And there are so many people out there today that are sitting in churches, not outside of churches, but sitting in churches, that they know the truth of the gospel. They know the truth that Jesus, the Son of God, came and was born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life, was crucified on a cross, was dead and buried, and rose again, and ascended into heaven, and is coming back. There are people out there that know that's the truth. There may be people in here today that know that's the truth. But you know what? My Bible says that the devil knows the truth. And he believes it. And he trembles. People, we need to understand that knowing the truth is not enough. I can know the truth of the gospel and it not be enough. If we go back to that chapter in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 20 and following, it talks about the false teachers that were there at that time. They're preaching something besides the gospel. They had been around Christians. They knew. They had even been in the church. But they began to preach a different gospel because they didn't accept the true gospel. And so they began to add to it. They begin to take away from it that Jesus wasn't really God, and that Christ only ascended on him at the garden or at the baptism, and then he left him in the garden. And they begin to preach all these things, and they could only do that because they did not know and accept the true gospel. And so if we look at this man, he's a good man. He's a religious man. And he even knew the truth. Because Jesus told him the truth. I don't care what preacher you go to, you're never going to find one any better than Jesus. And when Jesus tells you the truth, if you don't accept it, you're going to hell. I don't care how good of a preacher you listen to, or Sunday school teacher, or Bible study leader, if you hear the truth, and you know it, but you never accept it, you're following this man. Too many people in our world today want to know the truth, but never commit to it. You look at our lifestyle, and I'm not talking just religion. You look at our lifestyle across the board in this country. It's supposed to be a Christian country, but I'm not even talking about Christianity right now. How many people are truly committed to anything? How many people are truly committed to anything? They have things now out there that I can sign my name up, and if I'm working here, this company will find me a better job. If they find me a better job, I can go there. And then if that company finds me another better job, I can go there. I'm never really committed to my employer. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's how we are. There are people out there that are not committed to their sports team. If you go back to sports on the professional level or now even the college level, I can just opt out and go somewhere else. They're never committed, whether it be to Duke or North Carolina. And we can have that argument right here in this church. Which one would you go with? We can have a big argument between some people in this church because one is committed to one and one is committed to another, and they're not going to change. That's what we need for Jesus Christ. We need to be committed in such a way that no matter what this world pulls at us, no matter what Satan throws out there at us, I am committed to Jesus Christ and I am going to live for Him every day of my life. That's what it comes down to. To be committed is more than just being good. It's more than just being religious. And it's more than just knowing the truth. Because you see, this man, when he walked away, he had all those things. But as I look at this last verse, it says, when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful. Why did he go away sorrowful? Why did he go away sad? Why did he drop his head and walk off? Because he made a choice. He heard the truth, he knew the truth, and he had to make a choice. Now, let's step out of it again and let's get this back on you and me. If our friend is out there and they think good is good enough, we know that we got to tell them. If our friend is out there and they think religion is all it takes, then we've got to tell them. We have to tell them that it comes down to committing your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. It's not just knowing the truth. You and I have to be committed to telling people around us. But it's so much easier for me just to say, would you come to church next Sunday? Would you come to church next Sunday and hear the preacher? And I'm just in the back of my mind praying that maybe he'll say something about the gospel and maybe you'll hear it. That's great. But the bottom line is you need to be the one to tell them. You need to be the one that goes out there and steps out. But what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if they don't They don't like what I'm about to say. Well, tough. The bottom line is, are you worried more about what they think or what God thinks? Because your responsibility and my responsibility is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with every person we meet. I want to, Pastor Steve, that's unrealistic. That's unrealistic for me to share the gospel with every single person I meet. I go through Walmart and people are passing me. I don't meet those people. I see them. They walk past me. When I stop and talk to somebody, I meet them. When you stop and talk to somebody, you meet them. Do they know the gospel? Do they know that they're headed for hell? It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. But we will never do it. We will look back one day and see that we were the ones that were sad. We were the ones that were sorrowful. Because, you know, Jesus Himself said, I think it's in Matthew 7, somewhere in there, 21, something like that, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. There are a lot of people that know Jesus is the Lord. But He's not, and they know He is God's Son. They know He died on the cross. They know He rose from the dead. They know He's coming back. But they will not make Him the Lord of their life. They will not commit their heart 100%. They will not commit their life. They will call Him Lord, Lord, and He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Because they never committed their life to Jesus Christ. Now, I know this has got to be getting uncomfortable for some of you, because it's pretty uncomfortable for me, because I'm as guilty as you are when it comes to not sharing the gospel with people around me. So what's it going to take? This guy was right before Jesus, and he turned and walked away sad. You are sitting here today right before Jesus. You can either walk away sorrowful, acknowledging that you just don't want to do it. Or you can understand that as you go, as you step out, as you talk to those people, that is when Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. If I'm deciding what I'm going to do, who I'm going to talk to, then I'm the Lord of my life. The bottom line is, if He's the Lord of my life, my decisions are going to go through Him. Lord, should I talk to this person? Well, what do you think? If you ask me, then the chances are, yeah. We need to understand that's our responsibility, is to share that. Now back into the message. Being a good, moral, religious person and knowing all about Jesus is not enough for us, for me. I try to be a good person. I am a religious person. I know what I read in the Bible is true. But what am I going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? That's what it comes down to, is what are you going to do with it? So as Christians, are we committed? Or do we stop at these first three stages? Because when you accepted Him, when you came to the altar, when you knelt and you prayed, that was forever. That commitment that you made was forever. That covenant you made with the God of the universe was forever. We made a decision to live for Him, to serve Him and His kingdom. How are we doing? Look at our world. Maybe we can't say our world because I don't see a lot of people. Well, look at our town. Are we reaching people in our town? Are we reaching people at our work? Are we reaching people on our teams? Are we reaching people in our families? We made that covenant. We made that commitment with Him to serve Him forever. Are we doing it? There may be people here today that you walked in here, a good person, a religious person, knowing everything, but that's as far as you'd ever went. Bottom line is, you got a decision to make. You can walk out those doors and you may think you're happy as can be. But if you walk out with just knowing the truth instead of accepting and committing to the truth and the Lord of your life, then you are going to walk out of here sad. You may not realize it, but you'll walk out of here sad. And I don't know where you are spiritually, Christian, non-Christian. Doesn't matter if I know or not. What matters is the fact that you have to come up to Jesus at some point in your life and say, Lord, I want eternal life. And it's not about what you do. It's not about being religious. It's not about what you know. It's about the commitment you're willing to make. Are you willing to make that commitment? Because if you make that commitment in your life, it's going to change the lives of those people around you. If you make that commitment, it's going to change your life to a point that you will never be the same. Now, are you going to stumble and going to fall? Yes, I do it every single day. I mess up every single day. But the grace of Almighty God has already taken care of my salvation. He still has to teach me. He still has to guide me. He still has to lead me. He still has to correct me every single day. And I know this passage was for me, that I'm going to commit. I'm going to recommit everything I do to Him. I live my life for Him. Yeah, I'm a preacher. That's easy for you. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what you do as a job, because whether you're behind this pulpit or whether you're behind a steering wheel or whether you're behind a desk, I don't care where you are at. I'm talking about, where is your heart at? Are you committed to Jesus Christ? If we are, then we will see the difference in our life, because He will change everything that you do, if He is your Lord. Man, I pray you don't walk out of here sad today. And Christians, we walk out of here just as sad sometimes, because we think we've got it all under control. We think we're doing it all right. Well, if I was doing it all right, I'd be affecting more people. I would be changing the people I work with. I would be changing the people that I'm around. Not me changing them, but allowing God to change them through me. But there's too many times that Steve wants to be in control. And as long as you're in control, then that tells me Jesus is not. But that's up to you. My job is just to tell you what He told me. I read a passage or a quote here a while back, and it says, you can never impart what you do not have, or you can never impart what you do not possess. Boy, that really hit home. Man, I want people to be on fire for God. I want people around me, the people I work with, the people I'm on ball teams with, I want them to be on fire for God. I want to share that with them. You will never share that with them if you're not on fire with God. You can never share the Spirit of God unless He's in you. You can't impart what you do not possess. That's the problem with most Christians today. We've got it up here. And yeah, we've even accepted Christ as our Savior, but then we just kind of let it set. Bottom line is, we need to commit. During good seasons, during bad seasons, it doesn't matter. We need to commit to our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I come before You and I ask for forgiveness where I fall short. I pray for each and every person in this place and across every church in this world, Lord, as Christians, that we'd be what You want us to be. And Lord, those that are lost, that don't know You, or that maybe do know You, Lord, help us to draw close to You. Help us to seek You. Help us to be committed to You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.